Good morning, everyone. First, I want to thank the Claussen family for sharing their music with us this morning and through our service. And if any of you have recognized them, they've given me lots of change at the car wash. Thank you. Also, before we start our service this morning, we're going to have a young musician, Lorelei Lage. Please come up and share with us. Thank you. The one thing I regret, I can sing, but I can't play piano, I can't hardly read notes, and if I could do it again, I definitely would want to learn how to play that piano. Thank you. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Please join me in a short prayer. Out of the depths we cry to you, O God. Lord, hear our voices. Remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, for our sakes became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. This morning and every morning, let all of us put hope in the Lord, for with God there is faithful love, and in the Lord is plenteous redemption. Let us worship in sincerity and truth, and open our hearts and minds as we listen, share, and sing. Amen. If you would open your Mennonite hymnal to 586, I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace. Now, this happened to be one of my mum's favorite songs, but I also heard a couple of ladies as they were walking in saying it was their favorite song, too. If you can, please join me and stand.
To me.
Thank you. That was a wonderful way to start the morning. And thank you for all those wonderful smiling faces down there. Before I start with our welcome and introduction, etc., I just want to take one quick moment to thank you very much for allowing me to share some very personal things about my life when we did the Sunday on mental health and brain disorders, etc. I really appreciate that I have the privilege of trusting all of you to let me share that story. Thank you. So, for welcome, of course, we've welcomed the Claussen family. Are there any other guests that would like to be introduced? I see one, but he's too shy to get up. And yes, I see your daughter. Come on, Eileen, stand up. Thank you for coming. Yes, I'm sure. We may be gone for years, but home is home. From where, Germany? Thank you very much. Willkommen. And to our announcements, so if you would look under what's happening at NKMC first, we take note that Deanna Neufeld and the family thank for all the prayers and for all the wonderful things that have been given to the family on the passing of Harry. I know it has been difficult for everyone. And we all miss him, let alone the family. Just a note to remind the Mission Choir, you're singing tomorrow at Bethania. And the following Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, at Bethania as well at 9:30, because I'm conducting. So everybody come and help me. And just a little note there, check the doors when you leave the church to make sure they're locked. And under number 8, a wonderful celebration, and we'll make a quick announcement. Join Heidi and John Schrader on the 17th of June here at church as they celebrate their 65th anniversary. That is an amazing accomplishment. God grant you many good years together yet. Summer schedule, just so that you know it, by the end of this month, June 28th, we will start our services for the summer at 10 a.m. And, of course, we have many prayer requests, not only for the people that we still have in hospital who are new, who have been there for a long time, all of our loved ones that are in care homes and in Bethania, Cedarwood, Irene, Barron, Maples, Residence, Dispin, Taché Personal Care Home. The list is never growing any shorter. But especially let's remember on our prayer requests, Diedrich Funk and his family as he undergoes some test so that they can determine the nature of his illness. Pray for them. Continue to pray for Erica Cron. And, of course, Louise Lade. She has been in that hospital for months and months, and we continue to hold her in our prayers. And, of course, then we have a wonderful congratulations to Ed and Vanessa Harms and on the birth of their new wonderful daughter, Sarah Nicole, proud grandparents, Ed and Adina. Don't know if they're here this morning, but congratulations to them and, of course, great-grandfather Hans Rempel. Are there any other announcements anyone would like to share? Oh, I do want to add one thing. I put a little star beside it this morning. Next Sunday, June the 14th at 7 o'clock at the Springfield Heights Church, the Otto Claussen book launch. And if you know of him, and he used to attend our church many decades ago, you will know that he's done films and he's also now has a book launch. And actually, Peter Letkeman has been editing and writing that book. So if you want to join, please go to Springfield Heights on Sunday the 14th at 7 o'clock. There's nothing else at the moment, then I will ask for sharing time. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Jacob put his hand up. Does he have anything? No, just kidding, teasing. Okay, well, then please join me in prayer. This morning, as we come together as a church family, we give thanks for the rain, the sunshine of spring. Spring is a season of new hope, new birth, and we celebrate as we see nature blossom and flourish. A long, dreary winter opens to spring in our hearts as well. We celebrate the birth of the new daughter, And as we mourn the loss of our favorite flower in the garden that did not survive the winter, we mourn with those who have suffered the death of a loved one. In our church family, we also have those in hospital who are waiting for the season of spring so their health may flourish again. Grant them all mercy, grace, patience, and hope. We are so blessed to live in this country. We have so much to be thankful for, to thank God for His grace. And yet we all have struggles, and life situations invade us, our families, friends, and communities that make us question God's mercy and grace. Continue to give us hope and grace, God, as we pray and find peace and comfort in your promises and trust in the love of our church community who hurts with us and who prays for and with us. There is much sorrow in the larger world, God's people and all people around the globe who live in despair, poverty, war, and every day is a struggle many of us have known very little about. Give us hearts of love, non-judgmental hearts, as we pray, so we might all one day accept our differences and live in peace. Help us remember that through all of the ifs and thens of our life, that you bring grace, mercy, and redemption and hope. We pray in the name of Jesus. Hear our prayer. Amen. We'll have some worship music now. I didn't get to have piano lessons, but my brother got to have accordion lessons, and he still has an accordion. He said, I don't have the heart to give it to a thrift shop because it's just something that Dad really wanted me to play, so nice to hear the accordion. Children's story. Please come forward, and Mrs. White will share a story with you.
Good morning. How are you today? This is why I don't sit on this side. It's not comfortable at all. Okay, here we go. This morning, the story that I'm supposed to tell you is about consequences. Does anyone know what a consequence is, Jalen? It means if you do something bad is going to happen to you. Do you all agree with that? Does that kind of sound right? Okay, let's see if we can figure out if you were right or wrong. The story today is about Adam and Eve, and it's right after they ate the apple. So I'm just going to read out of the Bible. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. And God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it." And God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The snake tricked me, and I ate." And then God told the snake, "Because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all of your life." So what was the consequence for that snake? Jalen? So does that fit Jalen's thing? When you do something bad, bad things happen? Yeah, but the story goes a little farther than that. And I have another story about a little boy. And he got angry lots. So his dad said, "Every time you lose your temper, you go take a hammer and a nail and go nail it into my fence." So the first day, the boy had to nail 37 nails into the fence. Did he get angry a lot? He lost his temper a lot. But pretty soon the boy figured out it was easier to just not lose his temper. And so after many, many nails ended up in the fence, he finally had a day where he didn't have to nail any nails because he never lost his temper. So he went and told his dad, "I didn't lose my temper at all today." And the dad said, "That's great. From now on, every day that you don't lose your temper, go pull a nail out of the fence." So it took a long time, but he finally pulled all the nails out of the fence and he went and told his dad, "Dad, I pulled all the nails out. That's how many days I have not lost my temper." And his dad said, "That's great. Let's go look at the fence." So they went back and looked at the fence. And what do you think they saw there? There were holes in the fence. Those were the consequence of all those times he lost his temper. And you know what his dad said? His dad said, "Look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. And when you say things in anger, they leave a scar. It won't matter how many times you say, 'I'm sorry.' The consequence, the wound, the hole is still there." And then I started thinking, there's someone in the Bible that has holes in his hands. Who's that? Jalen? Jesus has holes in his hands. And why does he have holes in his hands? Yep. Because he was nailed to the cross. And why? Why was he nailed to the cross? Yep. Well, part of the reason was that people didn't like him when he was alive, but the big reason he was nailed to the cross. Jeremy, do you know? They didn't believe he was the Son of God, and the Son of God came to the earth to take all our sins and nail them to the cross, and all that's left is the hole that shows how much he loves us. So even though that consequence is still there, the meaning of it is that Jesus did that for us because he loves us so much. And that's our door into heaven because he loves us. Isn't that great? Well, yeah, it's great. All right, let's say our prayer. God, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful Sunday and the lovely people that we have here, and that you show us grace and make consequences forgiven. I love you. Amen. Off you go. I don't think there's Sunday school today. No, so you get to sit with your mom and dad finally.
We've got a special event this morning, and we are going to celebrate the community kitchen. Gary and Anne.
There are, within the context of the church, many seasons of faithfulness. And as the years turn, that looks like different things at different times. We often see programs come and go, and faithfulness is in both of those. Faithfulness is stepping in when God calls us, and faithfulness is closing the door when things are finished. For the last 14 years, we've been very excited about the faithfulness of the community kitchen. And so today, we'd like to learn a little bit more about that, and we'd like to have a prayer of blessing afterwards. So, Anne, thank you for sharing.
The North Kildonan Mennonite Church Community Kitchen began in the fall of 2001, thank you, as an initiative of the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, the WRHA. Excuse me. 2 years later, in 2002, the WRHA programming changed, and the community kitchen was no longer being funded. They encouraged the women at North Kildonan Mennonite Church to continue, as they believed the community kitchen was achieving its original intent, teaching women how to cook low-cost, nutritious meals while building community and creating a sense of belonging. We presented this to council, and they agreed to make it a church program with a budget of $400 annually. At the same time, we also began receiving generous donations from our church members as well as other donors, and never had to draw from the money allotted by the church. Now, 14 years later, we have gotten to know many women from the community who have participated in the program. This included a number of new immigrants who became especially attached to the volunteers. Our volunteers were able to answer many of their questions, and the women felt supported in their new life in Canada. Excuse me. In 2003, we had our first annual summer picnic, and in the following year, we added an annual fall clothing fair. We also planned Easter and Christmas celebrations as part of the community kitchen program. The church staff were invited to attend these celebrations. Our pastor shared the meaning of the celebration through telling of a short story, followed by a blessing. We also invited our contacts from the WRHA, dietitian, public health nurse, and community facilitator to the event. Once a year, we invited the dietitian from the WRHA to provide a short presentation to our group about safe food handling practices. Over the years, the participants came and went as their needs changed. Whenever we had room for another participant, the community facilitator would pass this on to the WRHA staff working with young families in the community. Our volunteers have also changed over the years. All have brought with them a loving and generous spirit. This created a special bond with the participants from the community. We learned from each other, and we all benefited from participating in this program. And just a few statistics. We were one of the few community kitchens running in Winnipeg. Five churches contacted us wanting to know what was involved in starting a community kitchen. We invited them to observe us, ask questions, and provided them with some of our foolproof, healthy recipes. Two access centers, one from Seven Oaks, the other from St. Boniface, also contacted us looking for information. They had received requests from schools in their area who were interested in starting a community kitchen to provide support to new immigrants. Mennonite Church Manitoba published an article online hoping to encourage other churches to consider this kind of outreach. The headline read, "Divine Secrets of the NK Sisterhood." We were also visited by a community correspondent who had the article published in the Herald on June 4th, 2014. In it was this sentence, aptly named, "The Community Kitchen Program Captures the Essence of Community." Over the past 12 years, now, the first 2 years when the WRHA were in charge, we didn't keep records. But when it was our church program, we kept records. That's why the 12 years. We have had 85 women participating in the community kitchen. Some of the countries our participants came from included Nigeria, South Africa, Germany, Iran, Paraguay, El Salvador, Mexico, and Nicaragua. Many of them did not speak any English. We learned to speak very slowly, point, and use hand gestures. At times, our communication techniques provided much humor for the newcomers as they increased their English vocabulary. Tuesdays at Community Kitchen became a priority for many of these women. One newcomer in Canada failed to appear one afternoon. The following day, we received a call from her stating she had taken the bus to the hospital to have her baby and would be back for the next scheduled session. True to her word, 2 weeks later she arrived at church showing off her tiny newborn. It was a privilege to spend time with women from many different walks of life. We heard their stories, offered encouragement, and saw many of them grow from week to week. Some returned to work, some went back to school, and became professionals. All of them brought back stories about how eagerly their families anticipated the dishes they brought home after cooking at Community Kitchen. There were many lives changed. In your bulletin, you can read how many from our midst participated in this community outreach over the years. And in retyping, one name was missed, Mary Leiptak. She was quite a few years with us. She didn't only teach the participants, she taught the volunteers as well. And we are thankful for that, Mary. You were all participants in one way or another, and God has blessed all of us, and we are thankful.
Thought it was appropriate. Thought it was appropriate for us to have a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing for those who have volunteered. Normally, we bring everybody to front of today because of all
such shy people. We're going to just ask those who are on the list, those who are volunteers, if you would please stand where you are. That's sure. The whole front row, yes, please. Okay. And so we want to thank all of you for helping out. And as Anne mentioned, all of us were really a part of it. So what I'd like to do now is for those of you who are close to these, we're going to ask all of you to stand now. For those of you who are close to people who have stood, just put a hand on their shoulder. And if we can have a few people from the front here come and just stand with these people. And we just want you to know that we appreciate what you've done and wish you a blessing. Would you bow as we pray? Thank you, God, for the way that you continue to creatively set before us ways to faithfully follow you. Thank you for the way that you put dreams and visions in our minds as we think about what it means to faithfully follow you in our community. Thank you for these faithful people who have stepped forward and offered their time. We ask that you would bless them and may the memories of these years continue to elicit smiles from them. We think also of those from the community who have been a part of this program. We trust that they will have received not only help with cooking, but a sense of affirmation and encouragement in their life as well. God, we want to thank you for knowing when it is time to say it has been good and to close the door for now. We know that you have many other ways of inviting us to faithfulness. So bless these people, bless our community, and bless our church as we faithfully follow you. Amen.
We will have the offering, and the Clausen family will share.
Thank you.
If and then. Before I read the scripture, I have to say good consequences. If you just started the community kitchen program here, then what would happen? And look what happened. There's nothing greater, I think, in this world than if we as individuals and collectively know that we can make a difference. And I think that's the whole purpose of being on life, especially as Christians, that we make a difference to the people around us and to the people in our community. And you did that. The psalm this morning in terms of the reading is out of Genesis 3, 8 to 15. And when I read them and I was with Gary, I said I was, it seems so somewhat negative to me, but I've actually changed a lot of my opinion, especially about snakes. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "Well, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
I was thinking as you were playing, and thank you for the wonderful music. They sometimes say when we go to heaven, we're going to learn to play harps. And I was thinking it's a good thing heaven is eternity, because that's about how long it would take me to learn to play one of these things. I'm amazed that you just sit there and make it look so easy. Let's stop for a moment of prayer before we take a look at this text. God, we are here as your people. We look to you and are grateful for all you have done, for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we heard a little earlier, for the invitation to participate in your work. Be with us now as we look at this passage and understand what it is that you would teach us. Amen. There was a story, you likely, most of you have heard it. It's apparently comes from the early 1900s. Not so long ago, Mythbusters actually checked it out to see if it was even viable, and lo and behold, it is. So in a nutshell, here's the story. There was a bricklayer. You know the story yet? There was a bricklayer. He's building this house. He's about in the sixth story, and he gets all done. There's a pile of bricks left. And rather than going up and down, obviously it was a man. He looked for a way to mechanize this. He went down, took a barrel, hauled it up, put a pulley and a rope down, tied the rope at the bottom, went up, loaded all the bricks in the barrel. And then he thought, "I'll go down, carefully hold on to the rope, and let down the bricks." Makes sense, right? Of course it does. So he gets to the bottom, holds on tight, unties the rope. Problem. Barrel of bricks, 500 pounds. Man, 150 pounds. So he begins a rapid ascent, and about story three, he encounters the barrel. Broken shoulders and so forth. And he keeps going up until he's two knuckles deep in the pulley at the top and hanging there, and the barrel hits the ground with a resounding thud, and the bottom breaks out. A barrel without bricks is about 50 pounds. Up goes the barrel, down comes the man, still 150 pounds, very fast, meets the barrel at about third level, breaks a couple of ankles, keeps on going down, lands on the pile of bricks, laying there moaning, he lets go of the rope. Consequences. Life is about consequences. All of our lives are. So, you know what consequences are, right? Show up late at work often enough and you get fired. Go outside with wet hair if you have hair in winter and you get a cold. If you give some sass to your teacher in school, you'll end up staying in for recess. If on July 1st you are caught phoning or texting, you get 5 demerit points. I think that takes about 112 years to get back. It's a new one I learned recently. If you're going 51 kilometers an hour in a school zone, even if you don't see the school zone sign, they take a picture of your car and send it to you saying, so nice to have you come this way. Oh, by the way, you owe us $325. Consequences. There are also, as Lainey pointed out, positive consequences. If you have a garden and you weed it and water it and fertilize it, you're probably going to get a good garden. If you study hard for an exam, you'll do better than if you didn't. If you smile sweetly at the neighbor girl when you're 8 years old in the sandbox, you get to celebrate 37 years of marriage this August. Consequences. These are good consequences. Consequences is an important principle of life that we need to teach to our children. Very often our children, like Adam and Eve, like Adam and Eve, struggle with the concept. Apparently we are giving our children less and less consequences, so they have a sense of entitlement when they get into the world, and that is tough when you hit the playground in kindergarten. Because they don't let you get away with things there. And they don't understand why you have to have all the best toys and the other kids aren't going to let you get away with that. And it goes all the way through life. If we don't learn consequences, if like Adam and Eve, Adam says, that woman, and this woman says, that snake, not my fault, I didn't do it, we land up with a really rough life. Now this translates over into our Christian life as well. If you look back from the story, just back up a little bit in the same section, in chapter 2, verse 17, God says to Adam and Eve, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Pretty serious consequence, right? That is a consequence. As we read through the Old Testament, we continue to see consequences. So, Exodus, full of them. There's mostly in the casuistic, somewhat in the apodictic laws. If you steal somebody's cow and kill it, you have to give them 5 cows back. Only 4 sheep. People don't like sheep as much. There are consequences for doing that. There's something called lex talionis, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There are consequences. The law actually was written to tone down the consequences because somebody would take out one tooth and he'd go back and take out all of the other person's teeth. And they said, no, you can't do that. You got to limit this. But there are still consequences. When we go into the New Testament, we see the same thing. The wages of sin is death. That's called a consequence. If you look at the Beatitudes, they are positive consequences. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit. If you are a peacemaker, then you will inherit, right? So there is a series of consequences involved with that as well. And as we read through the story of Jesus, which is where we like to focus, we see story after story of people being confronted with Jesus in a gentle and kind way with consequences. So he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, I'd like to follow you. And Jesus says, well, if you want to follow me, sell everything, give it to the poor, and come. Pretty stiff consequences for following Jesus. We see the same thing with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus comes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say a thing. He knows. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I've got to straighten things up. And so he starts handing out stuff, paying things back. And if you look through the law of the time, you see that he was paying back what he owed and sometimes a little bit extra. The story is that if we want to be followers of Jesus, there are consequences, and we need to be prepared to pay for them. It's really easy to sit in church and say, oh, that Jesus stuff is pretty good stuff. What's for lunch? Slow down. You've got a decision to make here. Not making a decision is a decision as well. We need to choose. Do we want to follow Jesus or not? Good lesson from Adam and Eve, don't you think? Consequences. Wonderful. It goes further. It always does, doesn't it? There are times in our life when we experience what appear to be consequences for things we haven't done. Sometimes there are consequences for what other people have done. Somebody decides that they're going to drink and they're going to drive. They run into your car and you're the one that lands up in the wheelchair. Those are consequences, but not from your doing. Or a person decides to drink excessively when they're expecting, the child may land up with fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. Lots of things. Some of the things that come into our life, we don't even know whose fault they are. We all of a sudden land up with cancer or MS or heart condition or whatever the case may be. Hey, just a minute. This is not fair. I didn't do anything to deserve this, did I? There are people who are born in one culture rather than another, and that culture struggles more to get by in the same society. There are children born in places where they are in a war situation or where they are starving to death. They didn't choose to be there. There they are. So what's going on here? And we've come up with some very interesting, shall we say, solutions. One of them is we say, God is in control of everything. God places every raindrop where it goes. Let's think that one through for a minute. So if that's the case, if God directs everything, this is all God's will. Does that mean God decides that there are a bunch of children who are born who are going to starve to death? Does God decide, oh, I think this person's going to die in an accident and that person's going to get cancer? Does that sound like the God that we see pictured in the character of Jesus? The other way sometimes people look at it is they say, well, God made the world, inserted about 16 billion AA batteries to keep it going, sat back and said, hey, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come, bring some popcorn, let's watch the show. Doesn't really sound like God either, does it? That God is hands off, sitting back? So where are we with this thing? We need to know because we're in the middle of it all. When I look at the passage and the larger passage from Genesis, starting at 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4, we see that what happened with Adam and Eve's decision is that sin came into the world and brokenness and evil. And we live in a world where there is anger and retaliation and bitterness and hostility and lust and arrogance and all the other bad things. They just kind of floated in and disease. And we live with the consequences of that. We all live in the world with the consequences of that. Not God's decision. Garden of Eden, pretty good without that. Heaven, woohoo, none of that stuff there. In between, we live with that. And so God comes along and he says to us, okay, I'm going to walk with you. We all wish for a switch. We just go on God to go flick. And our sickness is gone, and our problem with mental illness is gone, and the struggles we have at work are gone, or with our kids, or whatever the problem is, we want the switch to flick, and it's all better. And God says, I don't work like that. We live in a world with the consequences of sin, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk with you. You're never going to be alone. I'm always there with you. A year ago, Good Friday, test your memory here. We talked about that. And we said that on Good Friday, the story is that God enters into the worst of our struggles and meets us there. We're not alone. When we look back at this past year, we've had an awful lot of funerals that have happened in our church. And I've been amazed that as people come and prepare for that day, the way that as often as not, there's a tremendous sense of peace there. They've come to terms with that because they experience God walking with them. That doesn't mean it's not hard. I'm sure all of you have had days where you've said, I'm going through a hard time, God. Where are you already? And we don't always feel that. But the promise of God is, I will never leave you or abandon you. Romans 8, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And we hold on to that promise. Because like I said, the experience of that is not always there. We look back. I listen to people talking about coming out of Russia and their total chaos and carnage that went on. And they come now and they're at peace. And I say, how can you do this? And they said, God has never let go of my hand. That's my read of Psalm 121, verse 8 or 9, the last verse, whatever it is. God never lets go, even if we don't experience. That's why it's important, excuse me, that's why it's important that we have a church. Because when I don't feel God holding on to me, I need you to be the embodiment of God to come and put an arm around me and say, Gary, just want you to know, you're always in our thoughts and prayers. And that's God sending you to talk to me to say, make sure that they know that I'm not forgetting them. We have each other. So we live in a world which lives with the consequences of sin, but we're not abandoned to those consequences. The passage goes a little further. The amazing thing about this passage is, well, what was the if then? If you eat from the tree, then you will die. Did they die? They didn't. We say, well, death entered the world then, and there was spiritual death that happened. They didn't die. They were supposed to die. What happened? And what happened was that God of love comes down to mitigate the consequences of our decision. We make decisions that merit death, and God says, just a minute here. I really love these people. And I'm going to go down there and do something about that. And so we have, of course, the person of Jesus Christ coming down, who died in our stead, so that we don't need to experience that. The promise here is that God takes on the consequences of some of the sins. Let's take an example, prodigal son. I get there a lot, I know. That's the dirty part on the edge of my Bible. Prodigal son. So the prodigal son says to his father, I want my share of the inheritance. In the culture, that was saying to his dad, Dad, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. Because that's when you got inheritance, right? I don't even care if you're dead. I want my money. I don't care if this farm goes under. Give me my money. I'm out of here. And he walks out the door, and when he slams the door, he's essentially saying, my family is dead. And he walks out. In the culture, his father could have had him killed, or killed him. He didn't. He let him go. The guy has got the gall to come back. Can you believe that? After he says to his dad, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. He comes back to his dad, crawling on his belly, because he needs help. Once again, his father has the right to kill him. That's a consequence of what he did. What does his dad do? He starts on this little prepared speech, which I'm sure he went over 400 times on the way there. And his father stops him and says, no, you are my son. The dad says to the older brother, your son was dead and now he's alive. What happened to the consequences? That's forgiveness. Forgiveness takes those consequences and they disappear. Now, not all of them. The older son, remember the dad talking to the older son, he says, everything I have is yours. The younger son didn't get a share of the farm back. That was gone. That was gone. He lived with some of those consequences, like the nail holes in the fence that Ingrid was talking about before. But what was really important is the relationship with his father. Was reestablished. And so what God does, and what he says through this passage, and maybe I should just mention, in verse 15, some people have called this a proto-evangelium. It's the foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus. And where it says, you will strike his heel, it talks about sin coming to affect us. When it talks about he will crush your head, it talks about how Jesus puts an end to brokenness and evil and death. Now, not everybody agrees with that. I happen to think it's great. He comes down to make change. So Jesus comes down and offers us God's forgiveness, which changes us. Like the prodigal son, like Zacchaeus, like the woman at the well. That's offered to us. He comes with grace saying, what you couldn't do, I'll add in. And he comes with mercy saying, what you deserve, we're not going to give you. We still live with the brokenness all around us. But that is there. The consequences of sin
are mitigated by God. Now there we sit in life saying, wow, God has forgiven me. God has taken some of these consequences away. And it's great. And we experience the peace and joy and love that God comes to bring. And then something really strange happens. We begin to realize that there are people who have hurt us. And we have realized that people did things they shouldn't to us, and there are consequences, and the consequences was that we shut them out of our life. And we wouldn't forgive them. And we make them feel terrible every time we see them, or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, this starts to wear on us a little bit, and we say, if God could take away the consequences through forgiveness, maybe I need to think about that. Maybe I also can forgive. The older brother never got here. The older brother could not forgive, at least within the story. Hopefully later on he did. And we reach out to people who have hurt us and we've shut them out, and they deserve that. That's a due consequence. They deserve us hating them. They deserve our revenge. They deserve all that stuff. And we decide, after we've experienced God's forgiveness, to let go. And to withdraw the consequences. And to forgive. And to connect them back in. That's not going to fix everything. If you've gotten divorced and it's been a messy divorce, and you really are angry at this person because they've hurt you, and you deserve to be angry at this person, forgiving them is not going to dissolve the time in between and put the marriage back together. But it does change something incredibly important. The bitterness within your heart. And an openness to allow others to experience that too. Consequences are an important part of life. We all experience them. The invitation for us is to be serious about life and recognize consequences. But to also recognize that God has reached out to take away some of those consequences so we can still live. Allowing us also to extend that forgiveness and openness to those around us so that we can be at peace with them. And guess what happens? The church is born. May God fill you with joy as you work through the issues and struggles with consequences in your life, and as I do with mine. And recognize that all the little things we do in our life make a difference. God gathers those up and affects a change in the world. We went still looking for the switch to make it all better. And God brings change little by little by little by touching and changing our hearts. May you experience that joy. Amen.
We're going to do something a little different. The song is new, but it's such a beautiful song, such wonderful words in the melody. In typical Mennonite style, Carol and I practiced it for a few minutes together before the service. And we're going to sing verse 1 for you at the piano together so that you can learn it quickly and then join us on verse 2 and 3.
Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Nothing is lost forever. God's love is true. Love will remain, holding the world forever. No father to light, no hill to find, no flower to breathe in its glory.
Story. Nothing is lost on the breath.
Please rise for the benediction and then open your hymnal so we can sing verse 1 and verse 3 of 534 in the hymnal, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
O people forgiven and embraced by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.